Good morning. My name is Mark Husband. I'm the pastoral assistant here, and it's good to be back in worship with you all this morning. Our text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Mark. We will be looking at chapter 1, verse 14, through chapter 2, verse 17. We'll be covering about a chapter, the second half of chapter 1, first half of chapter 2. There are 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to try to cover about a chapter a week. Of all the Gospels, Mark has written in such a way that he moves from scene to scene so rapidly. Immediately this happened, and immediately that happened. And so, in the spirit of Mark's narrative style, we're going to try to fly through this Gospel together. But before we dive in to the verses we have before us, let's go to the Lord and ask him for his blessing once more. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your words. We know your words are truth and life. They are sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing to the division of soul and spirit, but they are also sweeter than honey. Lord, we pray that you would revive us this morning, that you would heal us this morning of all the diseases and infirmities that ail us through the precious blood of our Savior, our Lord Jesus, who spoke these very words through his servant Mark. And I pray that you would anoint my sinful lips, and I pray that the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing and glorifying in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. For it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. This is Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. I invite you to stand with me, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. Mark 1, beginning in verse 14, listen to God's words. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went into Capernaum. When the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus said sternly, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." The news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get to him because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. All of us are like grass. All of our glory, it's like a flower in a field. Grass withers, flowers fade, and they fall. But the word of our Lord will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. My grandfather, Papa, was a surgeon in the South Pacific during World War II. When he came home, he was a surgeon for 50 years. He performed all sorts of surgeries, and by God's grace, never lost anyone on the operating table. And when I think about a doctor, or specifically a surgeon, it's hard not to think about Papa, who's with the Lord now. But Jesus here is saying, when you think about a doctor, think about me. When you think about being sick and need healing, that's me. Jesus says he is the doctor. But in 50 years of surgery, do you know how many patients Papa operated on without any form of consent? You can guess, zero. Jesus said, I didn't come to heal the healthy. I didn't come for the folks who think that they don't need healing. I came for the sick, for the sinners. And by that, Jesus is not saying that there is this group of people who is healthy and righteous and they've got it all together and they don't need me. I'm not here for them. I'm just here for the people who truly need me. That can be seen pretty clearly by the use of various phrases about a dozen times in the episode we just read. All the people, the whole region, everyone from everywhere, the whole region again, everyone, over and over and over again, 12 times. Jesus came for all who will come to him. But when we come to him, we must come to him with faith and repentance. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Friends, do we realize this morning that our souls are sick with sin? And as a result, our hearts are filled with all different kinds, all various infirmities, diseases. So I wonder, do you have an infirmity this morning that you're aware of, that you want to bring to Jesus? What's your infirmity? Abandonment, betrayal, rejection. Do you struggle with trusting? Do you struggle to believe the gospel, to have faith that God is in control? Do you struggle with being a hypocrite, where we praise the Lord with our lips one moment, and then we act a different way? Do you struggle with laziness throughout the week? Or maybe you have the opposite problem, and you're a workaholic, and you can't rest in Jesus. All sorts of diseases and infirmities we have, and Jesus can heal you of that infirmity. Do you have a problem with authority or losing your temper? Are you sick with lust or greed, dishonesty, jealousy? Jesus will heal you of that if we will come to him by faith. Now, just so we know, we're not over-spiritualizing this text. And Jesus is literally, physically healing people of physical illness. So why are we talking about the spiritual nature of healing? Well, Jesus says he's come as a doctor for healing in that last verse we read. But in chapter 1, verse 38, he also tells us why he came. And these aren't opposite reasons. They're one and the same. Listen to this, that Jesus says in verse 38, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come. So Jesus says in one breath, I've come to heal, and in another breath he says, well, I came to preach. These two things are one and the same for the Lord Jesus. He heals by preaching. Well, what does he preach? That's actually at the very beginning of our text, and we'll finish with that. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But I want us to think about our infirmities and how we bring them to the Lord. That's not often a very pleasant process. Being diagnosed with a very serious illness. It's heartbreaking. No one wants to hear that they have terminal cancer. No one wants to hear that they have a horrible infirmity. No one wants to hear that news. But there can be no healing without a proper diagnosis. So we must come to the Lord. And as I think about Papa performing surgeries, he was on a Navy ship, and there were great typhoons, and you can imagine the boat was going all over the place, and I can't imagine how difficult it would be to perform a surgery. But he had to literally tie the patient to the table, had to bind them. Well, why would he do that? Because he's angry at them for moving around? No, of course not. He's doing it for their own good. And we need the Holy Spirit to bind us, to tie us down to the operating table. We need to be healed. And we need the Lord to move in us so that we can come to him and say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Do you see the theme of faith? We read a lot. We read many diseases, many infirmities that Jesus heals, but there's a common theme in all of these. They come to Jesus with faith. They come to Jesus admitting their need. If they had come to Jesus and said, Lord, I'm actually fine. I don't have any problems that I'm aware of. I'm glad you're here. It's nice that you're here to heal all these other sin-sick people, those sinners, those tax collectors, but I'm doing pretty good. Folks, Jesus has sobering words. I did not come to heal the healthy, but the sick. Will you admit your infirmities to the Lord? Will you admit your diseases? And maybe you don't even understand them. We don't know the depths of our sickness, and that's okay. The Holy Spirit can reveal to us by his word the problems that we have in his due time. That's actually part of the grace of sanctification, is that it doesn't all happen at once. We couldn't handle it if it were to all happen at once, if the Lord were to just reveal all of our sin and all of its magnitude. Jesus said, I have many other things to tell you, but you can't handle it yet, he told the disciples. But this progressive sanctification, Jesus will reveal to you your diagnosis if you will come back to him again and again. The man with leprosy is an amazing case. You see, in the Levitical law, when someone has leprosy, you're to stand as far away from them as possible, because if you come up to them, and God forbid you touch them, well, then you're going to get that leprosy. That's how it works. It's very simple. So they would stay away from the leper, and they would actually make the lepers call out, unclean, unclean, just so you know, stay away. But Jesus, he doesn't evacuate because of the infirmity. He doesn't leave town when an epidemic breaks out. He doesn't leave the world because of a pandemic. He actually came because of a pandemic of sin. That's why he's here, and he's a good doctor. And he says, I am willing. Don't rush past those words, I am willing. He says, Lord Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me. What does Jesus say? I want to. If you'll just come to him and admit, I need your help, Lord. If you want to, you can heal me of this infirmity that I have. Jesus says, I'm so glad you asked, because I do want to. Now be clean. And when he does it, he touches the man. I wonder how long it had been since this man had been touched by another human being. And Jesus comes and he lays his hand on him, touches him. What a good doctor we have. This makes the Pharisees very angry. They're outraged. What is he doing? Why is he with the sinners and tax collectors? Another episode, Jesus heals the paralyzed man. This man is bound, in a sense. He cannot move with paralysis. And Jesus' words in the original are so fun because what he says is, the first word he says is released. And anyone there hearing this, and especially the man who needs to be released of this paralysis, he says, released, and we're expecting is your paralysis. But he doesn't say that. He says, released are your sins. Well, that's an odd thing to say. He's come to him with a physical disability, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this man talk like that? He's blaspheming. And if Jesus is not the Son of God, he is blaspheming. They're right, but they're wrong. Because he says, well, which one of these two things is easier for me to say? I can say your sins are forgiven, or I could say, take up your mat and walk. And he says, just so you know, I am demonstrating to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is the proof, Jesus says. This is the proof that I have the authority on earth to forgive sins. Pick up your mat. Get up. Pick up your mat and go home. And he does it in full view of everyone. And they praise God. Time and time again, Jesus offers healing to those who come to him by faith. Not to the ones who are trying so hard to follow his rules, trying so hard to obey his commands, but to those who will come to him and say, I'm sick. I have a disease. My heart is filled with infirmities. Lord Jesus, I need your help. And if you're willing, you can heal me. I am willing. I'm so glad you asked. Be clean. So what is Jesus preaching? How does this sermon that he has with authority, by the way, these people had never heard preaching like this before. He taught as one who had authority. And the word is spreading like crazy because of this message that he's preaching and because of the healing that he's doing. But if you notice this theme of secrecy, maybe you heard a couple of times, actually three times, Jesus says, be quiet. Don't say anything about this. He did not let the demons talk. Why? Because they were going to go share false news, false information? No, because they were actually saying what was true, that he's the Holy One, that he is the Son of God. So Jesus wouldn't let the demons talk because they were sharing the gospel. What's with that? And then again, when he heals the man with leprosy, verse 44, chapter 1, verse 44, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Let the testimony be that you're healed, but don't tell who did it. Don't say anything to anyone. What's with this secret? This messianic mystery, Jesus says, it's not time to be revealed. That's an odd thing. Keep that in your front pocket as we walk through, march through the Gospel of Mark, because that's one of the biggest themes throughout this gospel, and it will be explained at the very end. But in spite of Jesus commanding secrecy, he can't help it. He went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. He's drawing crowds, and he's proclaiming to them. Verse 14, John was put in prison. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God What is that good news? The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, that is, turn from your sin, from yourself, to Jesus, and trust that he will heal you. That's it. That is the treatment. Faith and repentance in Jesus. And actually, more specifically, Jesus is not only our doctor, he is the treatment. He is the medicine. He is the one who brings healing. He's called the balm of Gilead. He's called the salve for our eyes. He's called the good doctor, the great physician. He is the one who brings healing. Apart from Christ, there is no healing. There is no forgiveness of sins. Will you turn to him this morning? The most amazing thing about this healing is that Jesus doesn't just come to bring healing, but he comes to bind himself to the sick. It's how he does it that's so profound. And it reminds me, as Papa was on the ship that was rocking back and forth, he had to tie the patient to the table, but he also had to tie himself to the patient. Because what good is it if the patient is stationary, if he can't be there with a steady scalpel? Friends, we're so scared often of a scalpel. We're scared of surgery. We're scared of spiritual anesthesia to undergo this terrifying surgery. But the surgeon doesn't cut to harm. It may hurt, but it's not to harm. It's to heal. And Jesus comes and he binds himself to you with his Holy Spirit by faith. Will you be united to him this morning? Will you be reunited to him this week by faith? Christ alone will heal you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful proclamation of the gospel, that you will forgive us of our sins and heal us of our infirmities if we will simply trust in you. Help us to be humble enough to repent of our sin and to admit that we have rebelled against you. And time again, we have turned our backs on you. Lord, if anyone would have abandonment issues or betrayal issues or issues with rejection, it should be the Lord Jesus, who was forsaken, who was betrayed, scorned, and rejected. And yet, Lord God, we see our perfect Savior trusting his Father. Would you please help us to trust you as the Lord Jesus trusted you, Father? And would you heal us of all our infirmities? The one who was stricken, he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We love you, Lord Jesus. Help us to trust you. And would you bring us healing? For we ask it in your name. Amen.